Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Big shout out to Jack Howell for joining us as he does every Tuesday in the noon hour. 970 texting in. We need more Kyle Bell. We need more cowbell. You want me to bring Kyle on? I'll bring Kyle on. Kyle's a stud. Good dude. CSU Air Force this weekend. Eh. Speaking of the Mountain West, we got something in the works here. I was checking this story out from Yahoo.com. Barring some unforeseen situation that we kind of know what Oregon State, Washington State, they are planning, Angel, to go at this as a two-member conference. That's still their plan. They're going to try to just be two Pac-12 members by themselves going at this thing. Now, there are conversations right now that at least for the next year, they would be a two-member conference, but they've been in deep discussion with Mountain West officials over a 1 or 2 year scheduling alliance, a move that could eventually serve as a first step in a long-term partnership or even a merger with the league. The scheduling proposals are being socialized among Mountain West administrators, and feedback is expected soon from the conference's presidents. Multiple officials who have reviewed the scheduling proposals spoke to Yahoo Sports. There's a version here that's really interesting that would have OSU and Washington State each playing 8 Mountain West opponents in 2024. Another has them playing 7. One has their games counting toward conference records. Another has them as non-conference matchups. How does that work, though, if you're a two-member team conference, you're the Pac-2, and the only game that matters is the one you guys play against each other, I guess? That's it. You just play the Mountain West and have some non-conference games, and then...
Would it be that the Mountain West games would count as a conference game?
That's what they're mulling over right now. So they'd be a conference, but not a conference?
You would be a Pac-12 conference playing Mountain West teams, but those games against Mountain West teams would count towards your quote-unquote conference record.
Right, and then you two are just going to play in the Pac-2 championship anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, take away the Mountain West conference or the Pac-12 conference, and it's just a conference game.
Right.
Meaning you play a conference team. They don't have to be in your conference, but that's what it is.
But that would count. I guess I look at it.
Like, they would still be, like, the Pac-12 would still have a separate champion, and the Mountain West would have a separate champ.
Right.
But all their games would still be considered conference games.
Yeah. That's dumb. That is terrible.
Well, if you want to keep the branding of the Pac-12, if you want to keep an automatic qualifier for the playoff with the Pac-12, if not, then it's going to go to, you're going to throw all those teams together and it's going to be the best of that group.
I think...
you could possibly have a Pac-12 and a Mountain West.
I just think the best... See, but that's weird because Oregon State and Washington State, Angel, they're going to impact Mountain West teams by beating them and messing with their records. But then they get a walk away at the end and just go have their own little championship game. Because, I mean, Oregon State and Washington State right now, especially this season, wouldn't they beat most Mountain West teams? And again, I don't have a problem if they were just a Mountain West team. Because if you're going to beat them, great, you're competing, you're going to play in the same championship game, we're all going up against each other. But the idea that it could be the games count as conference records, which won't matter for Oregon State and Washington State, because the only thing that matters to them now is just the record, because they would, next year, they could be 10-0 in the conference or whatever, and they lose to one another in a regular season game, 10-1. They're still going to play in the Pac-12 championship, but they went and wreaked havoc over the Mountain West, and then they're just going to go away and play in their own championship. That's one scenario. There's a couple of different ideas. The main idea behind this is to see what it feels like next year. The idea of Oregon State and Washington State playing against these teams. Maybe you want to see what the crowd does. Do crowds show out for those kind of games? Are you packing Mountain West stadiums more than you normally would? But it does feel like that would be a preview next year and see how it works for an ultimate Mountain West Pac-2 merger. Which I think is the best case, but that's my question is, whose TV contract deal are you using then? Because, Angel, don't you think right now You'd want to be under the Mountain West more than you'd want to be under the Pac-12. You got all the marketing and branding, and you're still considered a Power 5, but the TV deal, Mountain West has the better of the TV deals, at least currently.
Well, what if this 1 to 2 year trial run is giving them time to get a TV deal and also give them numbers to show to a TV network and say, hey, yep, these are our numbers.
That's
from
what
the
they
merger.
Want to see. They want to see if the attendance looks good, if the ratings are good on some of these games.
I mean, I think for the Pac-12, now you can go to the renegotiating table and say, hey, we're going to try this out, but we're going to use the rest up of our Pac-12 deal before we come back with more numbers and a different plan.
Do you know when the Mountain West deal ends, their TV deal? I mean, I think they've got it for a little bit. But that was kind of always the interesting thing about the idea of the remaining Pac-12 teams. 2026. The remaining Pac-12 teams coming in and joining the Mountain West. My question was, well, which contract are you going to go with? Can you get both? Would Apple TV be okay with that? Would the group representing, you know, getting Mountain West games on Fox and FS1 and CBS Sports and all that, would that group be okay with sharing with Apple TV? That was always a big hang-up, because if I know both games are on, if I know CSU and Air Force are playing and it's on Apple TV or FS1, most people, at least in 2023-24, are going to watch it on FS1. It's just easier to watch. And as you guys were talking about this morning, the recall button. Simple little things like that make a big difference. But I don't like, and you're right, it's probably more of a sample next year, but I think you just, they're basically Notre Dame, Angel. I mean, you'd have Oregon State and Washington State essentially be Notre Dame. They just play each other at the end for the right to be the best Pac-2 team.
But even Notre Dame has a semi-deal with the ACC.
So
they'll still play Clemson.
But yeah, but does if Notre Dame beats Clemson, does that count as a record loss to Clemson?
As a record loss, yes.
As a conference loss, is what I mean.
But it doesn't count towards Notre Dame either.
Yeah.
They don't get conference wins.
That's just your record. Yeah. See, that's what I would be good with them just doing what Notre Dame does. The Mountain West should not be penalized. If Oregon State beats Air Force, that should not be Air Force's 0-1 in the Mountain West.
I think that this is all coming down to how this 12-team playoff is going to be set. We have an idea of it, but it's changing every 6 months or so. And the playoff is going to get to a point where they're going to ask, okay, do we want to do automatic qualifiers for 4 big conferences and that's it?
Yeah, they'll edit this.
Or is it, hey, we have to make sure we keep this fair for all of the conferences?
Well, and then, okay, let's say that Washington State is really good next year. They beat all the Mountain West teams. They're undefeated. They beat Oregon State. Are they? They're your champ. They go to the playoffs?
If you don't have a conference, it's hard to say. What if I have a one-loss Georgia and a one-loss Bama ready to go? I have Ohio State, Michigan at one loss. Oklahoma and, you know, Texas are at one loss.
Let's say Washington State and Oregon State are both about 7-win teams, but they're playing for the championship and they're a conference champion. Do they get in? Oh, because we said the original plan was the Power Five would each get a rep. All 5 champs from the group of 5 would get in, correct?
Yep.
So let's say
it's not a Power Five. It's okay. We make it a lot easier and go automatic qualifiers for the top 2 in the 4 conferences.
Because we're not saying Oregon State and Washington State are Power Five anymore, right? We're not saying the Pac-2
is a Power Five.
They're not a Power Five conference, right?
No.
So winning their championship doesn't automatically put them in like it will this year, or would have if this were the setup for next year.
It's about what a Mountain West championship would get for you now. A big-time bowl game, but not quite into the playoff race, for the 4 teams at least.
Yeah. And next year, the idea will be, they'll have to edit this either way now, next year will be the four champs of the 4 Power Fives, of the Power Fours, there will be 4 champs, and now there's going to be 2 champs outside of that, mm-hmm, probably. And then you're going to get
6
wild cards, at-larges, probably a lot of SEC schools, is my guess.
Or
other champs.
Top 25 schools, yeah.
Because it's going to go.
I don't think the playoff committee is going to want, like, they want to make this change and be done with it. They want the 12-team playoff to be it.
Do you think they're going to try to screw over the group of 5 with this new setup?
I think if they don't give them a good enough option, they're going to exclude the group of fives in Pac-2. If it's easier and it sells more if it's just simple Power Four, okay, top two teams in each conference get in, and then four wild cards. And you could get in one of those four wild card spots, but it's not guaranteed with a conference championship, and your strength of schedule has to be very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, what could happen, the scary part for Mountain West, is what could happen is you get to the point where it's just SEC, Big 12, Big 10, and ACC, and it's those are your massive, your NFC and AFCs, essentially.
You could do three teams from each conference.
Yeah.
And there's your 12.
There's your teams. You could do that. I really hope that they do. I really hope what they do next year is they go champ of the four. You got four there. I'm going to take two outside champs, the best of the group of five or group of whatever the hell it is. And then just go back to your at-large. I want two in there. I want that to be an opportunity for them.
The tough thing is it turns, like we said, it turns Oregon State, Washington State into Notre Dame, and Notre Dame loses in this too, you know, because they don't, there's no way they get into a playoff without joining a conference.
So Notre Dame has to, they should have to join one too, right?
Notre Dame is interesting because they could join a conference and push it towards that, or they could stand pat and just say, no, we're Notre Dame. We're too big for you to exclude us.
And if you don't want us, that's your loss.
Like,
but
you're going to exclude a blue blood of college
football?
Probably
not.
No way.
That'd be a silly move to not give them a shot every year.
Sure.
But that's, again, why college football can be so weird. Smitty says automatic qualifiers for and the rest. That's the new landscape of college football. And, yes, they will exclude group of fives. I hope not.
Unless you're an Air Force this year and you get in there ranked somehow.
Go kick somebody's this year, Air Force. I mean, get into a monster bowl game. Finish
if Air Force
in the top
goes undefeated,
15.
They'll get
God
maybe top 10.
Are we
and
saying
get into a
that
New Year's Six bowl?
And I'm a CSU guy more than I am an Air Force guy. But what's better for the Mountain West in the very near future when it comes to playoffs is Air Force run this thing out, become a top 15, top 10 team, and go kick somebody's ass in the bowl game.
There you go.
That's what. Again, I don't know if that will change anything. But that would be kind of your best case scenario.
No, and you know, the Mountain West is also kind of at a crossroads. Do you bolster what you have, or do you try to put a hand out for the Pac-12 and say, yeah, maybe we can help you, but we don't want to, if I put my hand out to the Pac-12, are they going to bring me down with them?
Right. 18 minutes after the hour, I want to get into more of this too. Mike Brohard going to join us from CSURams.com. We'll talk to Mike in just a moment. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian, Gary, and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 24 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we got Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, rocking and rolling for us this morning, or this afternoon. Wow, could say that. Mike, how are you, dude?
I'm trying to figure out if it's morning or afternoon now.
It's in that weird spot for me, because I start the show in the morning and then I end it in the afternoon. That, you know, that's hard for my brain to compute, Mike.
Okay, other than that, I'm peachy. So now that I know it's afternoon, we're good.
It is afternoon. Well, afternoon at this point. What's new in your world? What's going on?
There's a lot going on around here, Brady. I'm not sure if you're aware.
A little bit.
We're playing a little football. We're getting ready to play some basketball. Got some soccer going in the playoffs. We got a little swimming's going to take place. Cross country going to Mountain West Championships. There's a lot to deal with over here in Fort Collins.
You got a lot happening, man. It's a fun time. It's a crazy time. It's crossover time with a lot of different sports starting up as we're at least getting down the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks with football season. Still a lot of season to go. Still some opportunities for CSU football. But big one coming up for the Rams football side of things, Mike. Going up against this powerhouse Air Force. Man, they just... It ain't always pretty. The Navy game was pretty boring, but if you like that style of football, it was heaven. I do like that style of football, But here we go. Air Force just keeps rocking and rolling. It's going to be a tough battle for the Rams this weekend.
Yeah, Air Force is really good this year. Their defense has been outstanding. Their offense has been what you would expect it to be. You know, they replaced their quarterback, and Larrier's come in. He's their second-leading rusher. He's been a very accurate passer, which adds another dynamic to that offense. You know, again, they're really good at time of possession. And the things that Colorado State has struggled with this year heading into the state pride game and on a weekend when you're, you know, we're doing the Hall of Fame weekend with nine inductees, the thing that the offense has not done is been consistent and maximizing their opportunities. They're going to have to score points in this game. You're not going to get as many possessions. So you have to be as good as you can. You have to be good early. And you need to put some pressure on Air Force.
Yeah, that's the thing. We you know, a couple of games, not many, but there's been a couple of games where it was closer for Air Force. Wyoming had some opportunities. Sam Houston had some opportunities there. You got to find a way to force a turnover or two. If you know, that's going to be big, but then you got to capitalize on it. You have to take advantage of any and every single mistake if Air Force makes any, because that's really one of the only, you know, a somewhat easy ways I could see anybody beating Air Force this season.
Yeah, I mean, and that's interesting to me about this game is that Air Force is really good. They haven't been thrown for a loss very much. And, of course, as a defense, you want to do two things. You want to put them behind the chains and put them uncomfortable down in distance if you can, especially on their side of the field, right? Where that discourages them from going on fourth down. You want to create turnovers so you can create extra opportunities. Those are two things that Colorado State's been good at, right? So they've created a lot of turnovers. The problem is they haven't turned those into points. If you get a turnover against Air Force, you've got to capitalize. You've got to make it points. And then Colorado State's, you know, they're 11th in the country in tackles for loss per game. But Air Force, just they've been really good at not getting behind the chains. So you got to force them to do some things they haven't done this year.
Talking to Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. It's always such an interesting battle for any team that goes up against Air Force because they do it so differently than everybody else, it seems like, in college football. So you kind of have to change who you are for a week, basically. So it's going to be a tall task for Colorado State, no question about it.
Yeah, and that is part of the equation, is that they do make you change to alter to their style. So that's what Colorado State's going to have to do really well this week, is they're going to have to, you know, their defensive system is going to be a little bit different. Now, because this is so unique, you know, they do work on this in spring. They do work on this in the fall. Throughout the season, they'll sprinkle in drills that are just specifically for Air Force, so that when it does come to Air Force week, it's recall, it's not learning something new from scratch, right? And then the more and more you've done this, the more you understand it. So, you know, you look at linebackers coach, you know, AP he's played against us. He knows what it's like as a player. He also knows how to scheme against it as a coach. So that helps, but still facing it and stopping it, completely different things.
Yeah, no, you're right. Should be a tough one. It's not out of the realm of possibility, though. I mean, you look at Air Force, and again, they've had some of those games. I was really shocked. You know, our old friend Ellison Hubbard, Mike, who we heard just a moment ago.
He
played with Sam Houston his last year in college, and he was like, "Dude, watch out for my guys. I think they're gonna take it to Air Force." And it was a close game. They had an opportunity there. So, Mike, do you think, like, is that something where if you're CSU, you go back and you watch film from like that game, from the Wyoming game? You really, because I know you're gonna watch film and portions of it of everything that they're doing. But do you go look at what some of these teams did right to almost give them a chance to win?
You will. I mean, you'll go back and you'll look at some things that teams have done that have had success. And the important thing is you got to pick the things that you can actually do and the things that fit who you are. You can't do anything completely out of the blue and just say, "Hey, this looked good. Let's try it," even though it's not us. So you got to be careful in that regard. But the other thing is they have to play a really consistent game. And that's something that CSU has fought itself to do throughout the entire season. I mean, I still don't think this team has thrown 60 straight minutes together. And until they do that, I mean, that's what you're going to have to do to beat Air Force, right? You've got to be consistent all the way through. Your offense has got to find a way to score, and not just score, but score touchdowns. Because you don't worry so much about the time of possession. I mean, Air Force is going to own that. But if you've got 9 drives and you score touchdowns on 5 of them, you're in a really good spot, right? So that's what they've got to try and find a way to do. And you look at, you know, like in today's story, you look at the first 3 drives of the last 2 games for Colorado State. That's 6 punts and it's 5 3 and outs. And they have to avoid that kind of non-production early in the game against Air Force.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. So, Mike, what do you have going tonight? You got a lot of stuff on your plate, or you get to relax any and watch? There's so many things on the tube tonight.
There's only one thing on the tube tonight,
yeah.
And that's the Phillies game.
That's the one. That's what I was going to ask. Which one are you going with tonight? And that's the one, huh?
I'm going with Phillies. Yeah. I want to see Phillies. I actually, Ryan Pfeiffer and I were talking about that, the esteemed Ryan Pfeiffer. We think it's going to be a high-scoring game based on the bullpen usage in this series and the kind of question marks around both starters.
Yeah.
So, I'm you know, we're thinking it's going to be a high-scoring game.
That'll be a high-scoring game. And you've got local stuff going on, too. You got the Avs rock and rolling. Can they break a regular season road record? They're unstoppable on the road. And then you got the Nuggets raising a banner tonight. So it's going to be an exciting Tuesday night. Love October, Mike Brohard. I just love it.
I do, too. But, you know, until baseball season's over, I've still got to watch.
So you're more of a baseball guy than anything else. Is that right?
Yes, that would be true.
Number one sport.
That would be an accurate statement.
See, look at me.
In terms of my fandom.
I'm getting to know. I know you. I know you, Mike. We know. We're getting there. Mike, what are you working on? We can check out at CSURams.com.
Like I said, a little bit about the offense this week and about how it's got to be effective and efficient. Braden, my intern, is working on the defense and just the different mentality you have to take against Air Force. We'll look at some of the other things. We've got some stuff on cross country coming for you. We got some stuff on soccer coming for you. And then I think I'm going to sit down and start working on some men's basketball stuff because I understand they're going to play pretty soon.
I understand that season is right around the corner, and a little birdie tells me Isaiah Stevens is coming back. So that's what we were led to believe. I'll believe it when I see it, Mike.
You know, if you really want to believe it earlier, you can look at our roster and he's there.
Yeah, again, I got to see it on the floor. And I'm also doing a radio show with him this year. So that would be, we're not talking about anything else other than CSU. So that might be another giveaway.
I think Isaiah would give you some good information about CSU men's basketball.
A little bit, yeah. Like if he's coming back or not.
He knows a little bit, yeah. He knows a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Some of the teammates, like the new guys. From what I understand, he's pretty good at the sport.
Oh, hey, Mike, before I let you go.
You're going to ask me about Torrey Horton if he's coming back already?
Is he coming back?
I don't know.
Mountain West, Pac-2. What's going on with that? Give me something.
All right, I'm going to give a shout-out to Kyle Neves because he predicted that this would happen. I haven't, because I've been so busy today with some other stuff, I haven't read the full regards. But it does sound like, you know, this is the first step towards the two leagues coming to some kind of agreement down the road with them doing some scheduling stuff. So we'll see how this works out, right? It'll be interesting. It will be interesting.
Yeah, no, it really will. I'm curious to see what the playoff plan is next year. I was talking about this earlier. I just really hope we keep the core of what it's supposed to be. Now with 4 Power Fives, you go 4 get in, 4 champs there, and then 2 Group of 5 champs, and then you're 6 at large. I hope we keep that plan, but I'm a little worried about it, Mike. You know I'm a worrier.
Yeah. Why are you worried, though?
That
what are you worried about specifically? That's kind of what I'm wondering.
The Group of 5 schools aren't going to get a chance to get into this playoff mix. A Mount West team's not going to get in.
I don't see that being the case.
Could be.
Honestly, I guess we'll likely see what happens, but I think the way it's set up, there's a very strong chance. I mean, if you look at it and they're ranked high enough, they'll get in.
I hope so, but I could also see them coming together with the 4-letter network, and it's like we're just going to take all 12 from all 4 conferences and make it the NFL, and that's what I worry about.
Okay, but it's not the 4-letter network that's running all this. I mean, you got to remember, this is different than the NCAA. The college football playoff, that group runs this, right? that's the group that runs
it.
Now,
right.
ESPN might own most of the bowl games.
Yeah.
But they have nothing really. They don't own any part of the college football
I think playoff. I think the bowl games are going to essentially be playoff games. I mean, that's where I think they're coming together. They're going to make all this. I don't know. I just think
they're going to use some of the bigger games that you're used to, right? And,
yeah.
and that's what they've been doing with the 4-team thing. It's like, you know, the Rose Bowl, things like that. They've been alternating at different years, right? So that everybody gets some exposure and stuff like that. And that's why you've seen some Rose Bowls not be the traditional Rose Bowls, right? But it's still the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
so they will use some of these platforms, but there's still going to be what you don't. To me, the bowl system has always been awesome. I mean, the NCAA gave up the golden goose a long time ago when it came to football. The money that they generate off the college basketball tournament, they basically gave up years ago to the bowl system. And a lot of these bowls that are around, even some of the bowls that, like, our fan base doesn't want to go to. Like, they don't want to go to the Boise game because, you know, the Idaho Bowls, generally it's in late December and it's cold and it doesn't seem like a bowl destination to some people. Fine, but that bowl game does a lot of good for that community. And there are a lot of bowl committees, you know, the bowl committee within each town around each bowl is fairly set in stone, and they do a lot for the community, and there are people making money off this. So I find it hard to believe that all these bowl games are just going to go away because, again, like we always talk about, you got to follow the money. Like we've had to follow the money with all the realignment and stuff like that. There's so much money being made at bowl games, maybe not by the teams and the smaller bowls, but by the communities and the bowls themselves. That's hard to just say we're going to get rid of that, right?
No, I get it.
Money, you're not getting rid of it.
I just worry about this overall plan. Like, my hope is they stay where it is. Obviously, you got to change it a little bit because the Pac-2 won't really be a – whatever they end up doing won't really be considered a Power 5. But I hope they just leave it like – I want to see our Mountain West teams and a couple – I mean, I want to see two Group of Five teams get opportunities. I definitely want to see it. I just worry, Mike, and I guess we'll see what happens.
Right. I mean, if you sit there and you actually think about it, if you're worried about it because some of these spots there's now, if you think about it, if the Pac-12, the Pac-2, it could open up another door for even the group of mm-hmm. five, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that I look at. I don't think they're going to take that away.
I hope they're not going
to take it away. There's a possibility. There's actually more of a likelihood that it opens up the door even wider. But you look at something like if it was this year, Air Force would be perfectly positioned right now to earn one of those spots, correct?
Yeah, correct.
7-0, they're in the top 20. If they run the table and they win a Mountain West championship game, there's no way that like Tulane's going to pass them, right?
Sure.
It's just they're behind them. They'll stay in front. They would earn that spot, right? But let's say I don't think you'll ever see two teams from one group of five make that playoff. It would have to be two different ones. So, like, in a year, you've had years past where, like, let's say both Tulane and Air Force are on the table, and Air Force would get the first spot. Tulane would now have an argument to get that second spot that used to belong to the Pac-12. That's now the Pac-2.
Yeah, no, that's the hope. That's the hope there is that it does open up a door for another group of five champ.
See,
for sure.
That's what you say now after I've talked you into it.
No.
You were all Chicken Little, sky's falling, nobody's ever going to make it.
I can still very much see the powers that be come in and say, we're going to just let it be with the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, and we're going to take four teams from each, and that's going to be our playoff. I could see that happening, Mike. I really could. I hope not. It would be stupid, but it could happen.
I do. This is my argument against you. So I think the group of five and working with the college football playoff has worked very hard because if you think about it, the one sport where Cinderella could never exist was football, right? And football got bashed for that for a while. You know, Troy Calhoun was the first one that I thought was completely honest, and this was about 5 years ago before I even worked at Colorado State. Mountain West Media Days, he came out and he sat on the podium and he goes, football's the only sport where not everybody has a chance to win the national title. Let's all be honest about it. And he was the one that would go ahead and say it, right? He was the first one that I remember coming out and saying it. as a Group of Five coach. So there was always that stigma against it. It's like, you got to at least give him a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the CFP and college football conferences worked really hard to at least give the optic that everybody's got a shot. It might not be a very big one, and only one team's going to have that shot, because you're not going to put, you know, the NCAA tournament's way it's set up, every conference gets represented, right? And if anybody goes on a magical run, i.e. Butler for a couple of years in a row, you've got that shot, right? You're presented the opportunity. Well, it's only one conference in football, but at least they want to hold on to that optic that the best Group of Five team, we're going to give you a shot, right?
Well,
so
yeah,
I don't think they're ever going to abandon
it. I
Brady,
hope.
I would never ask you to be an optimist, because I think that's completely against your grain. But I would like you to try to steer more towards being a realist.
No, I'm a realist, Mike, and you said follow the money. I mean, you look at all these monster schools right now. I mean, they're just anyway. Hey, I'm up against a break.
None of them are going to lose any money. So you can still follow the money.
You want more
of
your
big. Lose any money.
You want more of your big name teams in the playoffs instead
people
of.
Are gonna, but yeah. People are going to watch it no matter what.
But
you
let
put
me okay.
One Group of Five team in there.
Yeah.
People are still going to watch it.
But nationally,
all the big conferences are still going to make their money.
Nationally, Mike, if I were to say who would nationally people want in the playoffs? Air Force or Notre Dame or LSU? Nationally.
Air Force.
You think so? I don't know.
I think people want to see the best football. The reason I say Air Force is this is because nobody's going to want to play Air Force in a college football playoff. If you're talking to me about an SEC team and they draw, let's say Georgia draws them right off the bat, Georgia is going to be a heavy favorite, but they're not going to be happy about it because they never see the option.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So they're going to be that wild card team that people could do it. Now, it's not always going to be the same, but, you know, you look at a couple of years back before, you know, when Louisville had their shot, they had a high-powered offense, or Cincinnati did. They had a high-powered offense going into that, right? They were at least deemed by some people to be somewhat of a threat. And I think, you know, you're going to still see that. I don't think nobody's going to be unhappy with one Group of Five team in that format, because people are still going to watch the game. And the big conferences are still going to make their money.
Mike,
and the CFP
I hope
is
you're
still
right.
Going to make their money.
I hope you're right, my friend. Hey, I'm up against a break. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Rest your voice. Get some water.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Let's jump out and get the latest of the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Now, I do love Mike Brohard. I do. I wanted to let him kind of go there. But for him to just flat out say there's not a chance they don't change the playoff structure to benefit just the Big Four now, there's absolutely a chance. I'm not rooting for that. But if I'm the president, if I'm the playoff committee and I'm looking at how do we get more views, how do we get more ratings, therefore more money for advertisers – he's wrong when he says Air Force nationally, people would want to see Air Force over Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a national brand that people love, not Air Force.
So I did the 12-team bracket as they have it set up with the current AP poll.
If we had the playoffs like that this year, right?
So your top four teams all would have byes: Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington.
Okay.
The semifinal, quarterfinal games, the lower seed would host. So Texas would host Oregon. Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma would host Oregon State.
Yeah, could be interesting. Yeah.
Air Force would host Penn State.
Okay.
Ohio State would host Alabama.
One of those things is not like the other.
Now, what if I took Air Force out and I put Notre Dame host Penn State?
Nationally, that's a better thing.
There you go. Because Notre Dame is still a couple spots above Air Force, but because Air Force is a conference champ, supposedly, that's what it would be.
Listen, I want what you just said to happen. I want the opportunities there for Mountain West schools. I love the Mountain West, but the way they're structuring this right now, you're going to leave, like, how many great teams are you going to leave out every year? Great, sexy, well-advertised teams. 5 to 10 every year?
Notre Dame's out of that.
Yeah.
They're not sexy, but they're Notre Dame. LSU is not in that. CU wouldn't be in that.
Well, and again, this is based off the Pac-12 being a Pac-12. This is based on that this year. That's out. So now you're going to have Air Force and then Tulane in there.
Right.
That's not going to be good. I'm sorry. This is why, Angel, I say this, and I know we got to break.
Because in the new Pac-12, it would be Michigan would be the conference champ, and then Washington, who is four right now, wouldn't even be
right,
in there.
Right. This is why I say get everybody. Either go all in or go all in one way or the other. Either every conference is in, every conference champ is in, and it's a 16-team playoff, 12-team playoff, and then four or five at-larges. Or nationally, they're going to turn this thing in the NFL. That's what's going to happen. What do we learn? Coming up next.
You want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this 24th day of October? I learned that Sean Payton's a jerk, kind of. And that you can be hopeful that college football playoff scene doesn't change, but the reality could be staring us in the face that at the end of the day, they would much rather have Notre Dame and LSU in than Air Force and Tulane. That could be the reality of this, and I hope it's not true, but nationally, those are the teams I would go with. Angel, what'd you learn today?
On the basketball side, I learned that UNC's got an interesting challenge in front of them with their mix of returners and transfers. We'll see what kind of roles these guys take, but interested to see the depth and to see how this coaching staff approaches this challenge. Because I know for Smiley, for Dorian Green, they're approaching this a little differently than years past, and you got to find those role players again.
Yeah, it was fun talk to Dorian Green on the program, who says the UNC CSU games absolutely kill him. Because he's a CSU great, now coaching for the Bears. And the Bears have kind of had the Rams number over the last couple of years. A lot that we're going to get into on tomorrow's show. Recap of Nuggets, Lakers.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's go.
No one's in your seat.
Don't sit down tonight. 5:30, baby. Time to whoop up on the Lakers. The Lakers are talking about us all the time. No, no, bros. Nobody's talking about you. Nobody's thinking about you.
This is like the Super Bowl for the Lakers,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, this
they
is
all,
your
they
biggest
just
want
to beat us so bad.
Yeah, and we're gonna come in, and well, they're gonna come in. Whatever, I don't care. Nuggets are absolutely gonna roll the Lakers tonight. It's gonna happen. There's gonna be a lot of points scored. Joker's gonna have himself a day, and the Nuggets are gonna, you know, laugh their way out of there. And tell Lakers fans to take the L on the way out. That's what's going to happen. A lot of sayings from Michael Malone.
You know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
Smoke that pipe, LeBron. Smoke that pipe because you guys are getting smoked tonight. Oh, that's good. Write that down, Angel. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow as we'll break down Nuggets, Lakers, Avs. Major League Baseball playoffs? Maybe we'll watch it all tonight. We'll see. Good night, Northern Colorado.